The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Now at that time Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons," while others to test him kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. If I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one is stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest and finding none. It says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. At first glance, today's gospel reading seems like a collection of disjointed sayings and events. Jesus is healing a man with a devil in his tongue, making him mute. And he then is accused of being the devil. And so Jesus asks whether the devil can be against himself. A house divided cannot stand. A strong man is beaten by a stronger. Whoever isn't with me is against me. One unclean spirit comes back with seven more. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And finally, the most unexpected and out of joint thing of all, a woman from the crowd interrupts Jesus and says something nice about Jesus' mom. And then Jesus says, "Yes, but more." Now this odd collection of things will make a lot more sense to us when we work our way backwards through it. We must begin first with the last thing, the great word of Jesus in this gospel. And one that we do well to remember, and thanks to Matins in the Common Responsory, we do know it, and we can even sing it. "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Jesus says this in response to the woman who from the crowd comes up and blurts out, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." This woman is acclaiming Mary, Jesus' mother. And what she says is a very good phrase, but it's one that most of us know from a very bad prayer. The Ave Maria, the Hail Mary. You know, if the prayer stopped where the Bible does, actually, it would not be so bad a prayer at all. It would be very good. It starts, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." Or as our Bibles say it, "Greetings, highly favored one, the Lord is with you." These are the words that the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary at the Annunciation and at Jesus' conception. That's found in Luke chapter 1. To it then is added the greeting of Elizabeth, her relative, to Mary when she visited her. Blessed are you among women. We still sing words just like this, words that come from Mary's own mouth, actually, whenever we sing the Magnificat. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me, Mary, blessed. And the Hail Mary prayer combines with that phrase a paraphrase of today's gospel. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, of Mary's womb. That's Jesus. The Hail Mary gets this part just right. It interprets, actually, the saying of this woman in today's text. She says, blessed is Mary. But the Hail Mary understands that it's talking about how she is blessed in connection with her son. It understands that when she declared Mary blessed, she was really making a statement not about Mary, but about Jesus. Which no one else, by the way, in today's gospel seemed to get at all. The Jews, the Pharisees there, were calling Jesus demonic. And Jesus' responses to them, all of those maybe kind of hidden sayings to us, they were all spoken with the intention of prompting them, maybe even backing them into a corner and leaving them no choice but to admit that this is the Son of God, and that they were the ones who were uttering the devilish words. Jesus says, if it is by the finger of God that I am casting out demons, then you have to admit something. You have to admit that the kingdom of God is among you. It's here with me. Now the woman from the crowd who blurts out that phrase, she is actually giving Jesus a dramatic amen. She's acknowledging that this man who these Pharisees are arguing with, this man, Jesus, is none other than God come in the flesh. Now, every Sunday at the divine service, we recite, as we just did, the Nicene Creed. That creed, which is so wonderful, was forged in the fires of intense argument in the early church. Now, no one in the early church was accusing Jesus of being Beelzebul, the prince of demons. But some were denying that Jesus really was God at all. The Council of Nicaea, from which the creed gets its name, in 325 AD, it gave the first draft of this creed. The second ecumenical council amended it. That was the Council of Constantinople in 381. And then the third council, the council at Ephesus in 431, it affirmed this creed again. It affirmed what it said, what we say every Sunday, over against the teaching of a particular heretic in their day named Nestorius, who simply could not accept that God and man could truly be one, united in Christ. It was necessary for the church of that day to add a dramatic amen to the Nicene Creed. And with that amen, they added something very much like the woman's amen in this gospel. They insisted that in order to properly confess Christ in the creed, that means that we Christians actually need to acknowledge something about Mary as well. Namely, that she is, in the Greek word, the Theotokos, which means that she is the God-bearer, or simply, as we usually put it in the West, the Mother of God. And that council was right when they said that. Jesus, today in the gospel, is casting out demons by the finger of God. His finger. His finger is God's finger. God's human finger, as amazing as that phrase and thought may be. And lest anyone try to weasel their way out of a fully and truly incarnate God, we Christians are compelled to add this consequential phrase of the incarnation, to say that Mary is therefore the mother not just of a man, or even just of Jesus or the Christ, but Mary is the mother of God, because Jesus is God. God was born in her womb. That's the truth. God was nourished in her bosom. Just as surely as God was standing there in front of the Jews, casting out demons and talking to that crowd. Now, if you're uncomfortable saying that, on saying that Mary is the mother of God, be careful, because you are actually uncomfortable with saying that Jesus is God. Very God, a very God. So we confess. That's the last part of the Ave Maria that we actually can tolerate. Holy Mary, Mother of God. Indeed, that is a true, right, and necessary title. Lest we, like the Jews in today's text, start to fight and argue against who Jesus is. We must confess that Jesus is none other than God in human flesh, truly incarnate. And truly incarnate God, whether we see him dead on the cross, whether we see him performing miracles in the temple, casting out demons, whether we see him lying helpless, fed by his mother in a manger, or even, bouncing around and kicking at his mother for 9 months in the womb. Blessed is he, for he is God. And as a result, then, blessed also is she. She is uniquely blessed. No one else has ever been the mother of God, the bearer in her womb of something that no womb should seem to be able to encompass, the divine nature. Holy is fine. Saintly is a fine thing to say of her, of course. I do not doubt it either. Because Saint Mary is the one in the Bible who constantly exemplifies the one thing that is able to make anyone who is not God holy. That is faith. Mary, trusting and expecting good from God according to his promises. But what is the word that she is known best for? Let it be to me according to your word. How tragic, then, that the Hail Mary in the end, as you probably know, is not addressed in this faith toward God at all. Actually is addressed to Mary instead, and concludes with words that none of us should ever say to her. Pray for us sinners now and in the hour of our death. Now, no one denies that Mary, together with all of the saints in bliss, are most certainly praying for you and for me and for the whole church. What is to be doubted, though, and in fact must be opposed, is that you and I should invoke them, talk to them, call upon them in our prayers, or ask them to pass our prayers along. Mary, in fact, is known for saying something else. She is known for saying, "Do whatever he, my son, tells you." What is it, then, that Jesus has told us about prayer? He has said, "Ask my Father in my name." And he has said that no one comes to the Father except by me. We then address our prayers to God. We address them to the Father in Jesus' name. We have no command from God at all to pray in the name of anyone else or to anyone else or through anyone else. We also, and this is essential for prayer, if we're going to say true at the end of them, amen, I am certain and confident of this, we have no promise, we don't even have a hint that any other prayers are heard. Now, knowing this, it's hard for you and I not to hear today's gospel as an attack on the Hail Mary prayer. As if Jesus were shutting down this woman from the crowd, telling her she is wrong. Frankly, the translation we have in the ESV kind of sounds like that. Trying to say that she's wrong. Misses the point, because actually she is the only one in the crowd in today's gospel who is confessing the truth. But Jesus wants that woman, and you and me, to recognize why that outburst from her is true. Why we might call the Virgin Mary blessed. And that is why he said, blessed, moreover. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Because that is how sin here is blessed. The Gospel of Luke emphasizes Mary treasuring up in her heart every utterance, every word, every event having to do with Christ, and then pondering them in her heart. That phrase comes up more than three times, I think, in the first few chapters of the Gospel. That, then, is not only a blessing that is for St. Mary. It is, as Jesus said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. All those. There is no finer definition of a Christian than this one. One who hears the word of God and treasures it. Consider then the rest of today's gospel, working backwards. There is a warning. When the unclean spirit has been driven out of you by the word of God, as it has been by that word in and with the water of holy baptism, then you are marked as friends of Christ and as enemies of hell. Hell then will surely attack you back with temptation, with misery, with the evidence of your own sins thrown in your face again, and with false teachings of all sorts. So the question is, will the devil find in you a house that has been swept clean, that is empty, waiting helplessly to be overtaken? Or will he find you full of the word, full of God's promises, ready first to accuse yourself with God's commands and law, but just as ready to treasure the word of the absolution against every attack of the devil? Will Satan find you possessed by Christ, that stronger man who has spoiled the devil, crushed him down, slammed him in his steely cage, as we say, clinging to him, gathering together to Jesus in his word, in faith? Or will he find you scattered, falling back under the devil's bondage again? See, Jesus' exchange with the Jews at the beginning of today's gospel all boils down to this. They were resisting his word. They were doubting it. They were hating it. They were caring nothing for it, refusing to hear it, much less keep or treasure it. Lord, spare us from this. And instead, bring us to the very blessedness of Saint Mary herself. Bring us to cling in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ, to his word, and to the gifts which his word bestowed. Because blessed are all those who hear the word of God and keep it. For what fear, what sin, what sorrow, what heretic, or what demonic devil can possibly stand against this all-powerful word of our God, now made flesh? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.